Well, some have asked, what are you going to do when you retire? So I figured it out, though. I figured I'm just going to fill in here and preach here whenever someone's scheduled and they can't make it. I figure you're going to be seeing me all the time. But we are so grateful that they know what's going on with Pastor Albi now and that he's getting the treatment that he needs. And so we just pray for his healing there. And, every single one of us in this room is going to take a next step. And at some point, you'll get up from your seat and take a step and then another one. No one is going to sit here for the rest of their lives, and most of you are hoping that you're not going to be sitting here more than another 30 minutes. And just as each one of us will take a walking next step, there's also other steps in different areas of our life. Well, it's only been about a month since school has started. Before you know it, our seniors are going to be graduating from high school, and they're going to be taking the next step of college or work or military service. For some of you, you'll be taking the next step of a child leaving home. For others, in the workforce, there's always the next step in the next task that you have before you. There's next steps in our relationships. Next Saturday, Nevin and Kaylee are taking a big next step in their relationship as they'll be joined together in marriage. And we all have next steps. And for each and every one of us, there's also a next step that we have in our relationship with Jesus. Now, I realize that here in this room that there's people probably at all different places in their walk in the relationship with Jesus. Some still might be trying to figure out this whole God thing and thinking about what it all means. Some have involved God to a certain extent in their life. Others have given total control to God in their life. But wherever you're at, wherever you are, there is always a next step in your relationship with Jesus. I mean, we have a next step table out there, and we call it next steps because we all have a next step. So there at the counter, you'll find opportunities for ministry to serve. There's opportunities to learn and grow through small groups, through Bible studies. There's different things offered there because we're all at different steps, and we all have that next step. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Philippians, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God, who started this work in each and every one of us, is continuing to work in each and every one of us. He's continuing to mold and shape us and to form us to be more and more like Jesus. And he's going to continue that work and that shaping, that forming, until we're with him one day in heaven. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia. He says, my dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Jesus wants to be formed in you. And that process is not over yet for any of us. The Apostle Paul, in sharing about his own life and his own process that he is in, he writes to the Philippians, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting is what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't letting his past successes or his past failures keep him from stepping forward. He knew that he had a next step, and every single one of us do. And whether we take baby steps, a regular normal step, or giant steps, it does not matter. What matters is that you are taking those steps in your relationship and your friendship with Jesus. What matters is that you are taking the next step toward Jesus and not away from Jesus. And so this morning I want us to consider a story from the Bible that involves one of Jesus' close friends who took a giant step toward Jesus. And that's his friend Peter. And it's a story that we find in Matthew chapter 14. And the situation here is that Jesus has just fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Actually, it was probably closer to 10,000 people because there were also women and children in attendance at the time. And so beginning at verse 22 of Matthew 14, we read, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone.
and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus sends his disciples out in a boat to go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee. It was really windy and they were having trouble, a difficult time getting across. And all of a sudden, probably around 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the water and they think he's a ghost, and so they're scared. And Jesus tells them not to be afraid because it's him. And then Peter does something that I never would have done, something that I think was kind of dumb. He says, "Well, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come out to you." And I'd be thinking, well, what if it's some guy on a paddleboard, you know, and just kind of messing with you, you know? And so I wouldn't have said that, but Jesus says to him, "Come." And then beginning at verse 29, we read this. It says, "And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" You know, when we consider this story, we often seem to focus on Peter sinking and crying out, "Lord, save me," and Jesus saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And at times we seem to forget or fail to mention or emphasize the fact that Peter actually walked on the water. And he got out of that boat walking on that water. The Bible says that Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Now, I don't know how many steps he took, but I know he took more steps than I have ever taken. And I know he's taken more steps than you ever have taken. And I know he took more steps than any other disciples took, because they all were in the boat too, but none of them got out of that boat. Only Jesus got out of that boat. Only Peter got out of that boat and took those steps toward Jesus. And Peter took some giant next steps toward Jesus. And so I want us to think about, what can we learn from Peter that will help us to take some steps, our next steps, toward Jesus and not away from him? And so if you were going to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus, the next step in moving toward him, you must listen to Jesus. You must listen to Jesus. Now, listening can be pretty difficult. I mean, you can ask Linda. She'll tell you I have a hard time listening. And sometimes, you know, I get distracted easy. And so sometimes it's the TV. I'm watching the TV. Sometimes I have something else on my mind while she's talking to me. Sometimes she'll say something, and that'll trigger something else. And so then I'm starting to think about that. Then all of a sudden, after a while, I realize she's still talking. I have no clue what she's saying. So I have to have this puzzled look on my face, like I don't understand what she's saying, so she can repeat it to me. Those are little secrets she doesn't even know yet. Well, she knows now, of course, but so I'm in trouble. But listening, again, it requires a lot of effort and focus, because there are so many things that can occupy our thoughts and our attention. There are so many things to listen to and so many things that can keep us from actually listening to Jesus. You know, for Peter, you know, there were the other disciples to listen to. And I'm not sure what some of them were saying, but I'm sure they had their opinions. And maybe they were saying, "Yeah, Peter, go for it." My guess is some of them were saying, "Peter, you're nuts. You know, what are you doing? Don't get out of that boat. You don't even know for sure that is Jesus, you know? You know, don't get out of that boat. Stand here where it's so much safer." You know, I wonder about the battle that was going on in Peter's own mind and the voices that he heard from within. You know, I know that if it was me, I'd be hearing voices like, "I think he said come, but I'm not really positive. I'm not sure he really said come. I might have heard it wrong." And I would have those voices saying, "You can't do that. You know, maybe John or James, they could do it, but not you. You know, you never done that before. You never even tried it before. You can't do that. Stay right here. God can use you right where you are. These guys in this boat, they're starting to freak out from this storm. God can use you to keep them calm." And I would have all those other voices going on in my head. But in the midst of all the noise from the thoughts in his own mind, in the midst of all the noise from what the other disciples were saying, and in the midst of all the noise from the storm itself, Peter hears Jesus' voice say, "Come." And he gets out of that boat. He begins to step toward Jesus. Now, Peter's listening was not just hearing what Jesus said. It was actually doing what Jesus said. And in the Bible, we often see that listening is not just hearing something, but it's actually doing it. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Jesus tells a story about two people. One built his house upon a rock. The other built his house upon sand. And a big storm came along. And in the big storm, the person that built his house upon the rock, it withstood. But the person that built his house upon the sand, it collapsed. And the point that Jesus is making in that story is that the person who builds his house on the rock is the person who not only hears his words, but he puts it into practice, who obeys it. He not only hears, but he lives them out. Jesus' words become the foundation of the person's life. James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We are to be doers of the word. And this kind of listening that we're to be having is not the kind of listening like when your mom or your wife says to take the garbage out, and she's wondering if you heard her because you're not moving and the garbage isn't moving, you know? And so she says, "Did you hear me?" And you say, "Yeah, but you don't move." The kind of listening we're talking about is to do what you hear. And if you're going to take the next step in following Jesus and moving toward Jesus, you must listen to him. You must listen to his voice saying, "Come, follow me." And again, sometimes it's hard to hear his voice because of the waves and the storms and the noise all around us. It's sometimes hard to hear amongst all the noise of what others are saying and what others are doing and as we watch them. Sometimes it's hard to hear his voice because we're listening to our own voice because we think that we know better. I know one time on one of our missions trips when we went to Philadelphia, and it was before GPS, and I have trouble following directions with GPS, so you can imagine how I was back then. And everyone back in the day knew, like, if you went on a trip with Dave, you're going to get lost. At some point, you're going to get lost. And so here we're headed to Philadelphia, and I got some directions, and one part was a little confusing to me. As we got closer to that area, when we got to a toll booth, it was back in the day when actually people were in the toll booth. And so I asked a toll booth guy, I said, "Well, I'm headed to Philadelphia, and is this right?" And he goes, "No, you need to go back north. You need to go north on 95. And I'm thinking, I'm from Connecticut. Connecticut's north of Philadelphia. I should be going south. So I just kept going south. Finally, when I crossed the bridge and saw the sign for Delaware, I realized listening to my own voice was a mistake, you know? Listening to Jesus will always move you in the right direction. It will always move you toward Jesus. And coming to church here is great. To come to the worship service and be together and be encouraged and hear God's word. And being involved in a small group and in a Bible study, that's terrific. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of everything that is offered here at the church. But at the same time, it cannot replace the need that each one of us has to be spending time alone with God in prayer and in study and meditating upon his word. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely." It's important that we take time each and every day to be praying, to be looking into God's word and see what he has to say about who he is and what he's like and how he wants us to be living our lives, how he wants us to treat others, how he wants us to respond to our parents, to our children, to our friends, to our coworkers. And this takes time and it takes effort, but we need that time away from the noise so that we can hear the voice of Jesus and listen to him.
Peter, in the midst of all the noise and all the distractions that were around him, he heard and listened to the voice of Jesus. And will you slow down enough? Will you take time and move away from the noise and spend time listening to the voice of Jesus? If you're going to take that next step in moving toward Jesus, you must listen to him. But not only do you need to listen to Jesus in taking that next step, you must trust Jesus. You know, Peter took a huge step of faith in climbing out of that boat. And with each step on that water, he was taking giant steps of faith. And that faith and trust was not in his own abilities, but it was in Jesus' ability. Peter knew that on his own, he could not walk on that water. You know, too many times we fail to get out of the boat and do what God wants us to do because we think it's all about us and what we can do. But it's not about us. It's about what Jesus can do in and through us. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Peter was able to take that next step because he knew Jesus. He had spent time with Jesus, and he knew him, and he knew that Jesus could be trusted. He knew that Jesus was someone who had tremendous power. He knew that he had that power from seeing the various miracles that Jesus did. He had just witnessed Jesus feed 5,000 men plus women and children with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He has seen Jesus heal the blind and cause the mute to talk. He saw Jesus cast out demons and bring a little girl back to life. He saw Jesus heal someone who could not walk. He saw Jesus turn water into wine. He saw Jesus calm a storm when they were in the midst of it in a boat. He saw Jesus heal a centurion's servant when the servant wasn't even present with him. He saw Jesus heal many others, do other miraculous things. So he knew that Jesus had miraculous power. He knew that Jesus could be trusted because he knew that Jesus was someone who spoke the truth. He saw that in Jesus' teaching. He saw that when Jesus sent him and the other disciples out on a little missions trip, saying, this is what you're going to do, and they were able to do everything that Jesus told them they could do. Shortly after this particular story of Peter walking on water, Peter makes this statement to Jesus, saying, you have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter knew Jesus, and he knew that he could be trusted. And so he takes this enormous step of faith when nobody else in the boat was doing it. And he climbs out of the boat and takes that next step toward Jesus. You know, sometimes we start out trusting Jesus. We put our trust and our faith in him as our Savior, and we're going along trusting him and everything is good. But then all of a sudden something changes. We get sidetracked, or maybe some of life's unexpected surprises pop up. Maybe some hard times come upon us and we don't understand why we're going through them or why we're still going through them. We pray about them and nothing seems to change. Maybe there are some pressures at work or at home that have you anxious and just has kind of turned your life upside down. Things can all of a sudden come upon us and throw us out of sorts. See, Peter was doing fine. He was walking on that water until he noticed the wind and the waves around him. And he got scared and his faith wavered. But even when he began to sink, he knew enough about Jesus and he had enough faith to realize that he needed to call out to Jesus, that Jesus could still help him. So he cries out, Lord, save me. And we need to remember that in our troubling and in our scary moments, that it's still Jesus who is there for us and that he can help us. It's still Jesus who loves us, who is watching out for us. He is with us in the midst of the storm, walking through us through our darkest valleys. He's right there with us with arms wide, ready to catch us, ready to carry through whatever we're facing. When Peter cried out, Lord, save me, the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And God is reaching out to you, taking hold of each one of us. The psalmist writes, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus is greater than the wind and the waves that you might find yourself in, even in this moment. And you can trust him. And over again in the Bible, we're told to put our trust in Jesus. The psalmist says, trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Solomon writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Jesus said,
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. If you're going to take that next step in moving toward Jesus and doing what he wants you to be doing, you must trust him. You must trust that his way is the best way and that he is there for you. And he'll help you to do whatever he asks you to do. And if you are going to take that next step in following Jesus, yes, you must listen to him. Yes, you must trust him. But you also must focus on him. You must focus on Jesus. See, Peter was walking fine on the water. But all of a sudden, the Bible says that when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. If you're going to keep taking that next step toward Jesus, you must keep focusing on Jesus to where you're to be going. You must stay focused on him. Some of you know that I got talked into coaching middle school soccer again this year. And they're a great group of guys, but they're middle schoolers. And so they're not the most focused group that you'll find. Actually, I have one. Grandson Jake is super focused. He's terrific. And but we had a home game this past Thursday. And the team had some bus troubles, so they were going to be getting there late, which I always dread because now I have over an hour before this game is going to start. And I have these middle schoolers. And so they had some time to themselves, but now it was time to start getting ready for the game. And so I had to strongly, repeatedly, keep telling them, focus, focus. We have a game. There's a game we're playing. Now, those who know me know I can be a little competitive, you know. And while winning's not everything, you know, if you have a chance to win, we want to do it. And this was a team that, you know, there's some teams that it's going to be very difficult for us to beat. But this team could go either way, so focus on what you're doing here. And Rick will tell you that when we play games with the youth group, that the game's not over till I'm winning. then we can end the game. But it's continually telling them, we have a game. Focus. Focus on what you're doing. Focus on these warm-ups. Focus, focus, focus. And if we're going to keep walking towards Jesus, our focus has to be upon Jesus. It has to be upon him. See, there are a lot of things that can get our focus off of Jesus. There are waves all around us that can suddenly get our attention and grab our focus. We can be focusing on what others are thinking. We can be focusing on what others are doing. We can be focusing on what we want to do. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us run with perseverance to the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." You have to take a next step when you're running a race. There's no other way to run. And we each have a next step in this race in walking with Jesus, in this race that God has set before us. And so run this race. Run this race keeping your eyes on Jesus. He'll keep you going in the right direction. You know, my first summer here at the church, or first summer youth group trip, which I started in July, so it was the following summer. We went on a camping trip to New York, on the New York-New Jersey border. And it was just high school guys that went. And one of the main features of the trip, highlights of the trip, we were going to go to Action Park in New Jersey. And Action Park had this great water park with tremendous different attractions. And they also, in some of the attractions, they had an 18-foot cliff and a 25-foot cliff that you could jump off into the water. And so the guys were like, "Oh, we need to do that." Well, I'm afraid of heights, so like I was staying really quiet because I didn't want to do that. And but while they went on other attractions, they kept coming back. "We got to do this one. We got to do this one." And so you have to realize that I was only at the church about a year, so I was still trying to prove my manhood, you know. So I had to do this, and I still remember just slowly getting to the edge of that cliff, just praying that I wouldn't land on my back. You know, I was just praying that I would go feet first. I remember taking that final step, that jump off that cliff and going in that water. That was a difficult jump. That was a difficult step for me. And we have difficult steps in life. Not all of them are easy. Some of them are difficult. And there are difficult steps sometimes in following Jesus. And I don't know what your next step is, but I know that you have one. And I know that I have one. We all have one. And maybe it's a step in a new direction, a direction toward Jesus and not away from him. Maybe it's moving away from certain behaviors and towards some new, better behaviors. Maybe it's a step of obedience to repair a relationship with a friend or a parent or a sibling. Maybe it's a next step in a new location. Maybe it's a next step in doing something that you know God wants you to, a new step in ministry, a new step in opportunity that you know that God wants you to do, but you've been holding off because you're a little nervous. Maybe it's a step in taking a stand for Jesus. I don't know what your next step is, but I know that they're not always easy. And I know that they can sometimes be a little scary and difficult. I'm sure Peter must have been a bit nervous, if not at first, certainly along the way. But he took that next step. And if you're going to take that next step, you must listen to Jesus. You must trust Jesus. And you must focus on Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a God who does not leave us alone. I thank you that you are a God who is passionately and madly in love with each and every one of us and wants a relationship and a growing relationship and an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And so, Father, I thank you that you help us all along the way. And, Father, I ask that you'll help us to be people who are listening to you, and not just listening and hearing what you say, but actually doing what you say. I pray that you'll help us to trust you. I pray that that we, as we get to know you more and more and see how great and wonderful you are and how much you love us and want the best for us, that we'll continue to step out in faith, trusting you all the way. I pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes focused upon you. Father, there's so many things that can get us off track. And so help us to be looking to you, Jesus, and walking towards you, taking that step day by day, getting closer and closer to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us.